I think people need to take their minds off of whatever may be happening.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm enjoying the fall weather we have down here in Florida.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable in the mornings. But that's about it.
And then it gets hot again.
Yes.
Actually, yes. The next show that we do will probably be in the same room.
You think?
Well, hopefully.
Okay.
I mean, I'm coming down to Florida. I would hope that I'd get to see you and, like, we'd, you know, record something.
Yeah, definitely. I'll see if I can squeeze you in.
Okay. I appreciate that. 5 minutes here, 2 minutes there, whatever.
Yeah, you know.
Have your people call me, because I don't have people.
I fired all my people.
Oh. Well, you know. Is what it is.
They were just annoying. They were just annoying. Pissed me off.
Well, good. So you've been very busy. We haven't had a show in a couple weeks because you've been like balls to the wall.
I have.
You know, I don't want people to think that we forgot about them. It's just that, you know, when life happens, sometimes we just can't do this.
Yes. Yes, but it's over now.
Yeah.
So.
Which is why we're back.
I should be normal for a little while. We'll see.
I know you can't really talk about what you were doing, but were you home? I mean, it's been a really long time since we've talked. Were you home for Halloween?
Yes.
How was Halloween?
I think I had 12 kids.
We did not have a lot this year. We had mostly little kids that were out.
Okay.
Like, so here trick-or-treating starts around 6. And I would say the bulk of the trick-or-treating was over by 7:30. I kind of stood out there waiting because every once in a while, like, a kid would show up. But it was not nearly like it had been for the past couple of years. And I think like the town now does a trunk or treat on Halloween.
Yeah.
And I think the parents just take them there instead. So that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, we had very few kids.
Yeah.
And all very, very nice, well behaved, said thank you. New family moved in on the corner and they came by, and you know, the mother was introducing herself and had two older kids, but still like trick or treat age,
right?
But yeah, not many kids at all, and that's kind of been the way it's gone for a few years.
I mean, we had three kids, three teenagers. Come down the block, come to me. I gave them candy and they went down the block and then they came walking back and they walked past me. And this was like 7:30-ish, 7:45. And they were like, "Happy Halloween." I said, "Wait, come here." And they were like, "What?" And I said, "Let me give you more candy." And they were like, "We already got candy from you." I said, "I know, open your goddamn bags." I said, "You're getting more because there's nobody coming and you guys are going to reap the benefits of this." And they were like, "Okay." Right. And so they stood there and I did handfuls of candy into their, because stupid me was like, "Oh, we're going to have a ton of kids." So I bought a ton of candy and then standing there with a giant bowl. And I was like, "Well, I don't want this."
Right.
And so I was like, "All right, fine, whatever. I'll just give it to," and like the last two kids that came up were the two kids across the street. And I just just emptied the big thing into their bags, and I was like, happy Halloween.
Nice.
We did get, after 3 years of doing it, we got a kid dressed as a Ghostbuster.
Wow.
He was maybe 7 or 8. And so they went walking down the one side, and my kid had dressed like a Ghostbuster with me. And so we were standing there, and my kid was like, there's a Ghostbuster across the street. And I said, where? And so he saw the car, and he saw the big projection on the house, and he was like, got really excited. So they came back the other way. And I said to the parents, I was like, I've been waiting 3 years for this. The fact that I've been waiting for somebody dressed as a Ghostbuster. And I took out the full size Crunch bars that I bought. Yeah. And I was like, you get something special, and you're the only one getting this because you're the only one that I've seen. I put it in this thing, and the parents were like, that's really cool. And I was like, you don't know what this means to me. Like, if this is the last year that I do this, I can say that at least one kid showed up as a Ghostbuster.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. But I did hear a lot of the kids that came back from last year, and like, oh, it's the Ghostbuster house. I love this house. This is great. And so like, we're at least remembered in the neighborhood for doing something that's, that's out of the ordinary.
Different.
So yeah. So I was just like, all right, that's cool. And then, you know, normally on every other year, like we'd get kids at 9, 9:30, and at 8, I was like, yeah, I'm just putting everything away. Like, there's just nobody here. So it was sad. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it started a little before 6 here. My neighbor bought an RV and has been rehabbing it. And she, anytime she sees me, I have to go look at it. So I got caught. And while she was showing me around inside, this kid came to the RV trick-or-treating. Oh. I said, oh, I got to go.
Saved by the kid?
Saved by the kid.
Nice.
Because I was afraid that would be the only kid all night.
Oh. That's funny.
Yeah. But now it's Christmas time.
Yeah. Skip right over Thanksgiving. Go right to Christmas.
Yep.
There are houses here already decorated for Christmas. It's really disgusting.
Oh, same thing here. Same thing here. I mean, not to mention the place I work.
Well, yeah.
1201 on November 1st, suddenly it's Christmas.
Oh, man. I can't imagine. Well, I can, but like, just the shock of that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it was bad enough when like Christmas stuff was in the stores when there was still Halloween stuff, but
yeah.
Now we're full swing. You know, those poor pilgrims don't get a holiday anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody remembers their names. It's fine.
That's right. And they didn't give out candy, so gave out smallpox.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. So it has been a while since we've talked. We've had a couple of finales.
We did.
Since we've talked last. Do you want to talk about Agatha or Only Murders first?
Let me talk about Agatha first.
Okay. How did you feel about the last two episodes of Agatha?
I kind of felt that the first hour could have been split up among the first part of the season.
Okay.
Because they waited until after everything happens to then, oh, and here's her story. It was still very interesting. I liked the whole changing of time periods as she was killing the witches on her quest. I was still really unclear on why the kid died, and I had to like read a few things to figure that out. The second hour I really liked.
Okay.
I liked where they were taking it. I liked that she was brought up to basically where she is in the comics. it starts to set up Young Avengers. So, I mean, I'm hoping that we get to see her battle Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange at some point.
Is she, like, basically a ghost in the comics?
I think so. I think at least in one version.
Okay. Because I thought it was very ballsy to kill off your main character, you know, with time to go. But we have talked about the writing of this show for, I think, almost every episode that we watched. And the gymnastics that they had to jump through in the writing stage to make everything fit at the end. You know, I personally like the fact that they didn't tell her story until the very end, because otherwise you would have gotten the fact that the road was made up and that,
right,
that she's just as shocked as everybody else when the door appears.
Mm-hmm.
And while she understands it's Billy, we don't understand that until the very end. And I thought that was very clever of the waiting until the very end to be like, well, this was actually all in his mind. Cause we even talked about, right, like all the stuff that was in his bedroom that didn't seem to make sense, that, like, you know, there's the Wizard of Oz and there's, Alice in Wonderland, but when you look at it as a whole and you realize that he's the one creating the road, all of, right, a sudden it's like, holy shit. Like, they really thought about this from every angle and was like, this is all going to fit together in a nice little puzzle at the very end. And Agatha and Billy are going to go off to find Tommy, and maybe we'll get a season two, or maybe they'll just pop up in a TV show somewhere or a movie.
Right.
But was very impressed with the level of Marvel TV shows that we were getting. Like, I didn't really have high hopes for Agatha, especially after all the name changes. And,
yeah,
like, okay, they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they have, but seeing it all together, it was like, no, actually, this is done extremely well. And they I guess they said it was like the most inexpensive of the TV shows to produce. And I really feel like whoever was show running this, they need to put in charge of the television side.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they did an amazing job with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very, very impressed with the Agatha conclusion. So I really feel like, you know, they finally hit it out of the park.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this, compared to She-Hulk, this is like a complete 180.
I mean, I give She-Hulk like credit for the last episode where she breaks out of the TV,
right,
show and goes into the Disney Plus menu and then finds her way into Marvel. Like, I give them props for that. But, like,
right,
Secret Invasion and all the other bullshit that we've had to sit through, where it's been like, I don't understand why they even spent money on this.
Right.
You know, like, just fucking crazy. But I do think in the pantheon of, like, Marvel TV shows, this is probably up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, second to, like, WandaVision. I think WandaVision pushing the boundaries of what we considered a TV show.
Right.
And telling that story and then setting this up and this killing it. Like, they've got to be two of my favorite Marvel shows.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
So we also had the finale of Only Murders in the Building.
Yes. That just kept spinning until the very end.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was so well thought out.
Yep. Yep.
So well thought out, and all the twists, and you know, it's like you knew who the murderer was the episode before.
Yep.
But you didn't really know what was going on, and you know, the whole side of Saz, that she was trying to become a scriptwriter, and she made the mistake of sharing it with what's his name?
With
Marshall.
Her protege.
Yeah, her protege, and he basically, you know, killed her to steal it.
Right.
But just all the way up to the very end when he gets shot through the window. And it's Charles's girlfriend.
Yep.
Who Jan. Apparently has been she has been living in his closet in the walls of the hotel or the apartment building for the past several months.
Yep. Which is a great callback to a couple of seasons ago when they talked about how the Arconia has all these hidden like passages and stuff.
Right. Interesting that it was the doorman who gets killed at the end of this one.
Yeah.
But again, it immediately spins to another new story.
Yep.
As with Tia Leone.
Yep.
I mean, I wasn't sure how they were going to end Oliver and Loretta. If, you know, there was going to be a happily ever after, but now she's moving to New Zealand. And,
right.
You know, so I wasn't sure that this was kind of coming up to the close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then again, it's like they immediately go into another cliffhanger and
yep.
You got to wait.
And I don't know why, but I was very on edge during the wedding as thinking that something bad was going to happen to either Loretta or one of the main characters.
Right.
Where I was like, there's something, I don't know why I feel this way, but like there's some tension here that I don't know. Like I was hoping that they weren't going to get rid of one of them.
And right.
Unfortunately they didn't, but I mean, it's very well written. I still maintain it's probably the best show on TV. But yeah, it's going to be a long wait for the next season. But you know, as long as I can still crank it out.
As long as it's as good as it's been.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's worth watching.
I mean, I don't really feel like there's been like a miss season with this.
No, not at all.
I feel like every season they've just gotten better and better.
Do you think it's because of the short season that they just have the time to do it right and do it well?
Well, I also think that a lot of it is the fact that there is a beginning, a middle, and an end of this arc, and you know, it's a true, they've all been true mystery arcs of like, you know, they figure out who the killer is and then they work backwards to to do the twists and stuff, and I think that allows them to be like, all right, we have they're 10 episodes, so they can mark them out of like where we find out what and what happens between them. And so I think when you have a really good writing room like they do, like they can map that out to where it doesn't feel like filler and everything is answered. And when you get to the end, you're like, holy shit. Okay. You know, I would assume that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, really well done.
Yeah. We also had the finale of the Penguin.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
Oh my God, that had to be the most brutal episode so far.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from what they did to the mother, and it's like anytime somebody's getting a finger cut off, that just freaks me out. It just freaks me out. I don't know. It's like one of my unnatural fears somehow I'm going to lose a finger.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, it's, and did you notice some of the little things they kind of snuck in there?
As far as what?
As far as, well, obviously the bat signal at the end.
Right.
So now we kind of know that it's,
it's
going to
lead into the
come.
Second film.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But there was that scene at Arkham in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Where it looks like the scarecrows.
Yeah, I did see that.
Hands. So yeah, I mean, very interesting. I thought the whole idea of Sophia offering the citizens gin as opposed to the beer,
right,
kind of reference, and it's like, okay, that sort of makes sense. You're trying to give them, make them go your way because of, you know, buying their votes, so to speak.
Yeah. And you know, when we basically get at the very end, you know, before you get to the bat signal, Oz is dressed in pretty much the comic book outfit. He's got his top hat. Mm-hmm. He puts his hat down on top of a umbrella. Like, it was very heavy handed of like, he's now crossed over into this more comic book world as opposed to like the real life, like, crime drama that it had been. And we were both wrong about Vic.
Yep.
Vic does not turn out to be Victor Zsasz or anybody else. He winds up dead in the park.
Right.
This brutal scene where he's like, you're my family. And then Oz is like, yeah, I can't do this. And just chokes him to death. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I mean, wow.
And Colin Farrell kept saying, like, you're not going to like the character by the end. There's no way that you're going to look at this character and be like, he's the guy. And like, there was that thought in my head of like, well, he's still got Vic. He's still got his mother. He's still got kind of a family thing going on. And then he kills Victor. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. So there is no redemption, and there shouldn't be. I mean, he's a villain.
Right.
But like, it just shoots him into the stratosphere of like people not to fuck with when he's been this kind of, you know, bumbling guy that nobody has any respect for. And by the end, he's like on the top of the heap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a weird like Oedipus complex thing happening with his girlfriend at the end where she's dressed as his mother.
Yeah, that was, I mean, again, it was another thing to just, you know, put you on edge.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's they've talked about a season two. And I guess Colin Farrell has said that he will do it if they can pull it all together. So we might see a season two of this.
Right.
So that'll be good.
Yeah, definitely.
What else have you been watching?
New season of Cobra Kai dropped.
Yep.
I watched the whole thing last night.
We're about four episodes in.
Oh God. Okay. I am getting a little tired of the pitting the kids against each other, and just when you think they've been redeemed, they slide back, and it's like, all right,
yeah,
we've seen this for six seasons. When are we moving on?
Yeah, it's, and you know, they're at this competition, and you know, they're not doing very well. And it's like, but you guys have come together in the last season, and like, you guys should be like this fighting unit. And,
right,
you know, just so that, that we have some kind of conflict, we have to pit the kids against each other. And like,
yeah. And it's like, these kids have been through so much. Why do you keep heaping on it?
Yeah.
Why? And Johnny and Daniel not getting along. It's like, yep. Okay, then why would you stay in that relationship?
Well, and like, there's no way, if you're dating somebody and she shows up on the other team, that you guys aren't hashing that shit out in the hotel room.
Right.
Like, we have drama just for drama now. And it's like, no, that's not the way this should be.
Yeah. Well, wait till you get to the last episode.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, again, I got sucked in. I watched all six episodes last night.
Nice.
And it's, I mean, it's the nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
It's this, you know, seeing these characters that you grow up with, and now, you know, you're at a different time in your life. They're at a different time in your life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it's,
but I didn't, I like, I also don't need, like, it's enough that they qualified for this competition. Like, they right. didn't need to layer in the Mr. Miyagi has a secret story.
Oh, yeah, but they did.
Yeah, and I'm just like, come on. Like, do we really have to go there? Do we really have to do something that could tarnish the memory of like this beloved character? Like, and I don't know how mm-hmm. it resolves yet, so like, I don't know what they did, but like, really, like, just let it go.
It's pretty heavy-handed.
Yeah,
it's pretty heavy-handed. Just wait.
Okay.
And then I'll ask you next week what
okay.
you thought.
Okay.
That's your homework.
Okay.
Yeah. Still working my way through Nautilus.
Okay.
I really like it.
Okay.
I'm only four episodes in, but I mean, it's so well done, and it's such a great story, and you see aspects of, you know, the book and the Disney classic that they refer to. You know, we've met the Kraken.
Right.
But, you know, there's scenes where they're putting on diving suits and going out onto the ocean floor, and it's really well done. I mean, they spent money on it. They obviously spent money on it because it looks fantastic.
Okay. It shocks me that Disney decided not to distribute it.
Me too, because I think this could have been very popular on Disney Plus. Very popular. I think they kind of blew it.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, I think you should check it out sometime.
Yeah, it's on my list. I just have not gotten around to it yet.
Yeah.
Did you see that Frasier was canceled?
I can see why, but I have been enjoying this part of the season.
Okay.
It's found where it needs to be, and they're laying heavily into trying to get other co-stars from the TV series in. He goes back to the radio station in Seattle, and he meets, and Bulldog is there, who's now out and proud, and Gil is there, who's now doing the self-help show.
Okay.
the food critic. But yeah, it's, you know, it's okay.
Okay.
I think Patricia Heaton mm-hmm. has been on several episodes now, and she's kind of his new girlfriend, but she's very salt of the earth, and you know, Frasier's very pretentious.
Right.
But this whole last episode was about them being tricked into going to a murder mystery party by one of his colleagues at Harvard. And she's full on in the spirit of, you know, this Bridgerton type murder mystery that she's hosting, and they all kind of shit on her. And then they all blame Frasier for it, and then Frasier turns around and like solves the mystery about who actually, you know, ruined the party.
Okay.
And it's really well done.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they still don't know what to do with his son. I think Niall's son is better written this season than before. But, yeah, I'm not going to miss it when it's gone. Did you see they're adding Wendy Malick to Night Court?
No, I haven't.
As another prosecutor?
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
kind of
surprised
they
didn't cancel that yet.
So am I.
It still hasn't found its voice,
which is too bad.
Yeah.
Because it's been running on, I don't know what channel it was. There's some channel that has been doing marathons of it. So I've been watching like multiple episodes. And it's like, Bernadette is no Harry.
No.
It's just impossible to have put her in that role and expect it to be as popular as the original was.
Yep.
Which is too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total missed opportunity. It really shouldn't have been her as the judge. It really should have been her as, like, the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a prosecutor. Like...
Yeah, even if she played the Christine role.
Yeah, like, this was my dad's...
That would have been better suited.
Yeah, this is my dad's court, and, like, they could have gotten another judge that was kind of wacky and stuff, but, like, I don't know. It's too... Let's talk about your feelings for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not what Night Court was. I mean, Night Court was just silly shit, so I don't understand.
Yeah, they haven't figured that out. And I think it's too late.
Yeah, well.
You know, it's just... That's great. But you know what? You kind of screwed the pooch.
Maybe Wendy Malick will bring something new. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
So is Wendy Malick playing somebody that we know, or is she like a brand new character?
I think she's new.
Okay.
I was getting confused because there was an article about which former co-star of Frasier refuses to be on the reboot, and it turned out to be her.
Oh.
And the original Frasier, she was kind of introduced as a love interest for his father.
Oh.
It's like, well, I can see why you would want to be part of it, because the character you were, you know, relating to is dead.
Yeah.
And I can't see them bringing in a new, you know, another new love interest. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I thought David Hyde Pierce didn't want to come back.
No, he didn't. He feels that he said everything he needs to say about, you know, those characters.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And, you know, what's his name's politics and stuff probably played into that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and especially bringing in, you know, Patricia Heaton, who's kind of the same boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, good for him that he's able to, you know, put closure to that and not have to deal with it. I have been watching a new show.
Yes.
On Peacock, there is a show called Day of the Jackal, which is kind of the retelling of... There was a movie back, I want to say it was in the late 90s, maybe? Called Just the Jackal, and it was a Bruce Willis film.
Okay.
it was called The Jackal. It was him and Richard Gere. But this is kind of an updated telling of the same story, but it's all it seems to be in Europe. It's got Eddie Redmayne as the main guy, the main assassin. And the woman that played, not Monica, in Captain Marvel, the her partner.
Yeah.
She plays the MI6 agent that's trying to figure out who's doing these assassinations. But it's very European. It's very like the first episode takes place largely in Germany and they speak German, and so that there are subtitles.
Okay.
But I think it adds to it because you know they're not doing English with like weird accents. They're just speaking in German.
Right.
And during the course of the first couple of episodes that I've watched, like they go from there to then they're like in London and then they're in Ireland and then they're back in Spain and like they go to all these different places. And so it's very international.
Okay.
And the ones that I have seen have not come to America yet. So, you know, think of like, you know, Jason Bourne-ish like settings, except the dude that you're following is a murderer.
Okay.
And it's cool because Eddie Redmayne, he's not Newt Scamander in this, he's a killer. And so it's a different way he gets to act. And I think he does pretty well with it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's on Peacock and I've been watching that.
Okay. Daily Beast says Eddie Redmayne's The Day of the Jackal is a torturous bore.
Okay, so we just like different things, I guess.
Apparently.
I find it intriguing. Like it's inside the mind of an assassin and the people are trying to catch him, you know.
Sounds interesting. Sounds like something I would check out.
The Jackal movie with Richard Gere, I loved. Like I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but like it was one of those that like I had the VHS for. I don't know if I have the DVD of it, but like it was in heavy rotation just from like the way that the assassin has to get to where he's going and like bring the weapons and like I don't know, I just find all that fascinating. So this seemed to be just as good, but I guess I don't share the same outlook is the Daily Beast. But what do they know?
Well, there you go.
I mean, you could just look at it as it's Newt Scamander killing people. You know.
That sounds like fun.
We've had a couple deaths since we last talked.
We have.
Quincy Jones died.
Okay.
The very famous music producer.
Yep.
You know, We Are the World and pretty much everything in between. Like, he is touched on everything. His daughter, Rashida Jones, is an actress who was in Parks and Rec and a bunch of other stuff. So he died recently, and we had Terry Garr die.
Oh, that's right.
At the end of October. And she, if you're a staple of the 80s movie scene, if you watch anything from the 80s, you saw her. Actually, the 70s and the 80s. If you watch Young Frankenstein or Tootsie or Close Encounters or Mr. Mom, she was in an episode of Star Trek.
Right.
She was in Dumb and Dumber later on in the 90s. Just a stalwart of my childhood of like actresses that you were like, oh, she's in this too. So yeah, she passed away at 79, which is, I guess, a decent run. not as long as some others, but
right.
Apparently, she played herself in Murphy Brown. But I mean, she was in like everything. She was in Tales from the Crypt.
Oh yeah, Mr. Mom, and yeah, I mean, she did all those sitcom, those TV variety shows in like the 70s and 80s.
Yep. So yeah, she was in Oh God.
Yep.
With oh God, with George Burns and John Denver. Yeah, George Burns plays God. There's a an interesting film. If you want a study of 70s films, go watch Oh God.
Mm-hmm. Because who thought John Davidson would be a good idea as a movie star?
Yeah, well, you know. And then there was Oh God Book 2.
That's right.
But that didn't star anybody from the original cast. God goes and talks to somebody else.
Right.
So, yeah. And then didn't George Burns did like another God film, didn't he? And he wasn't it like he played himself, like he played God and then he played the devil?
Am oh, God, you devil? Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Who would have thought that George Burns would have been on a role as God?
He did quite a few movies in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
He did Just You and Me, Kid, with Brooke Shields. You know, who can forget that one?
I know.
But yeah, he was, yeah. He was one of a kind.
Oh, he was, for sure.
He was very much, he was a character.
Right.
I think he, anytime he played in a film, it was basically him.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
he goes all the way back to like, you know, radio.
Right.
Burns and Allen.
Right.
So. Very funny man.
Yeah.
Very funny man.
Apparently he did an episode of The Golden Palace, which was the Golden Girls spinoff.
Oh, that's too bad.
You know, I don't remember ever seeing an episode of The Golden Palace.
I don't remember. Well, I mean, I've seen it in reruns. Right. Don Cheadle and Cheech Marin were in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the same.
No, and it only lasted a year.
Yeah. But I guess it goes to show that it was B. Arthur who was holding the whole thing together.
Which is weird.
I know.
Because you would have thought that was on the strength of all four of them.
Right.
But maybe without B. Arthur, it just doesn't work.
It didn't.
It just not, you know.
It just didn't.
No.
Nope.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Spinoffs are just usually not that good.
No. Just ask the
unless it's a Norman Lear spinoff, because all those were like knocked out of the park, but
those were so different from each other. Like the Jeffersons is really not like All in the Family at all.
Or Maude.
Or Maude, yeah.
You know, or Good Times.
Yeah, I mean, they were able to find different voices for each of those and have it work. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
But. Have you watched any of Lower Decks of the new season?
Have.
Yeah.
But I'm not really getting into it.
No?
Yeah, no. I mean, I watched the last one.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's like, oh, this is great. There's all these 80s callbacks and stuff. And it's like, it was okay. It was funny, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on par with the other seasons, but it does feel like it's running its course.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, like, you know, everybody was like, oh, this is the last season. This is going to suck. And then it was like, well, maybe they understand something that you don't.
Right.
Maybe they understand, like, this is the time to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna finish it, but... I mean, if they
I mean, the one with the bird food critics, I think, was probably the funniest I've seen so far.
Yeah. I mean, if they can do another live-action crossover with Strange New Worlds or something like that...
Oh, my God.
You know, that would be great.
I mean...
You watched any new movies?
I watched the boy band documentary Larger Than Life.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but it was mostly fluff. It was an MTV documentary, so I didn't have high hopes going into it. But it starts with the Beatles and goes all the way through K-pop. And, you know, there's a big section on the feud between the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and doesn't touch on the sexual harassment part, but it does touch on the shitty deals that they were given with the record company.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, it was just, eh.
Okay.
But I think that's, yes. I've been very busy elsewhere.
Yeah. The only other movie that I watched was, I watched a horror film around, well, no, it was like last week, I guess, called The Substance. It's the horror film that Demi Moore just made.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting body horror film.
Okay. I'm not into that.
Yeah. So she's this aging star called Elizabeth Sparkle. And Elizabeth Sparkle in the 80s was this big, think of like Richard Simmons, like big fitness.
Oh. Okay.
But she's wound up old and alone, and she gets into a car accident, and while she's not hurt, she has this young guy hand her a thing and say, just look this up. I know who you are. This changed my life. And so it's this thing called The Substance where she injects it, and basically a younger version of herself splits out of her.
Oh, okay.
And the idea is that each person gets 7 days. So the original kind of like goes to sleep, but like isn't really conscious of what's going on for 7 days,
okay,
while the other one lives out whatever they do for the 7 days, and then they swap. And there's this thing that happens where the younger one goes and gets the job that the older one had as a fitness guru, like same company, same producer, same whatever. It's just now she's the star, and the younger one starts to resent the fact that she's got to go to sleep for 7 days. And so she stays out longer and longer. And when that happens, the other one prematurely ages.
Oh.
And so when she wakes up, she's got like one arm is all shriveled, and like she's losing her hair, and like it gets really nuts at the end. Like, I can't even describe to you the batshit crazy ending to this film. Like, it is out there. But it was interesting because it was a twist that I didn't see coming. And even though it's body horror and that's not my thing, really, I found it pretty fascinating. You know, the gross stuff I just kind of close my eyes at and stuff. But but yeah, I mean, it was, and it was recommended to me. Somebody was like, oh, you should see this. And I was like, well, I'm not really a body horror person. And they're like, oh, but you've got to see the ending to this. And it was like batshit crazy. Which, I mean, I guess is good. I mean, it's, it doesn't ground itself in reality anywhere. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's as much as I watched over the past couple of weeks. I'm trying to think.
You didn't watch the white guy beat up the old black guy last night?
No. No, and I mean,
apparently many people couldn't watch it because Netflix servers crashed.
Yeah, I'm sure the NFL is really concerned now since they're going to be, I guess, handling all of the playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. No, I mean, first of all, I have no respect for either one of those men.
Right.
You know, if you lived through the 80s and you, like Mike Tyson's prime, you know that like he was accused of like beating up his wife and shit. And like, why would I support that? And Jake Paul is just a terrible fucking human being.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's as bad, if not worse, than his brother. And, you know, I don't really want to support him either, so. And it was a, like, I don't know how old Jake Paul is, but he was beating up a 60-year-old.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? But, yeah. My daughter thought it was very funny, the shot of, I guess, they interviewed Mike Tyson in the dressing room, and he was wearing, like, the only thing he was wearing was, like, a cup, so like his ass cheeks were hanging out.
Jeez.
As he walked away, like not giving a fuck about his the look and of all, you know, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really understand boxing to begin with. Like, I don't really see how that's entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, and that comes from a guy that likes professional wrestling, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's fake.
Well, yeah, and that's more about like the athleticness, athleticness of the person.
Right.
Like to jump off top ropes and like, you know, not get killed, and like it's entertaining at least. Mm-hmm. I don't understand watching two guys beat the shit out of each other and be like, oh, this is awesome. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, I give them a lot of credit for getting in the ring with somebody and taking that abuse, but I don't need to support it. I mean, I guess a lot of people have made their living off of it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Which is weird. But, you know, I guess pugilist is still a thing. Not really sure if it, you know, if it proved anything other than Jake Paul can beat up an old guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think some of this shit's outdated, but what do I know? I'm just not the target audience.
No, not at all.
But I don't know what I'm the target audience for anymore. Because it seems like a lot of things are just not made for me.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. Other than I guess it is what it is, but
it's part of getting old.
It is.
Being unrelatable. Being forgotten. abandoned.
Yeah. Well.
Turning invisible.
Thanks, man.
Anytime. I'll put it into real terms for you.
Okay. You're all going to die.
Well, someday.
Yeah. Okay, we have to end on something happier than that.
We do?
Yeah.
Apparently there's a new hot Christmas movie on Netflix. It's about a woman who falls in love with a snowman. It's called Hot Frosty, starring Lacey Chabert, whatever her name is.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my. Well, it's nice to see Craig Robinson getting some work, I guess. Oh, man. Okay. Did you watch this?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just saw it pop up today.
Oh, okay.
I don't intend on watching it. No. Mm-mm.
Not a new Christmas film?
Nope. I'll stick with Die Hard.
Did you see the new Ghostbusters film? Frozen Empire?
Yeah.
My kid was trying to convince me that that's a Christmas movie. I said no. Just because there's snow in it doesn't make it Christmas.
It's a winter movie.
It takes place in the dead of summer.
Right.
It's like July in the movie. And it just happens that this dude freezes everything. But she was like, no, it's a Christmas film. I said, no, you're not understanding what a Christmas film is. I mean, I think it's a, you know, it might be a failing on my part. It might be a failing in the educational system. I don't know. But she's got a really weird idea what some of this stuff is.
Well, you should force her to watch a ton of Christmas movies now.
But like weird ones?
Do you understand now?
Like,
yes.
Like Bad Santa and like...
Like Bad Santa and... Is that the one with Bill... No, that's the one with Vince Vaughn, isn't it?
No.
Or is that Billy Bob?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Fred Claus,
yeah,
I think,
the
one is
the
with
one with... Fred Claus. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, you should make her watch all of those.
I mean, I could just sit her down in front of... What is it? The Hallmark Channel? That plays nothing but those god-awful Christmas movies?
Yeah, but those are shitty Christmas movies. There's some good Christmas movies out there. Come on.
Well,
National Lampoon.
Well, I mean, we watch that every year. That and Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't remember the last modern Christmas movie that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that every year. I mean, it's definitely not going to be that new one with The Rock. Because that just looks god-awful.
Apparently nobody's watching it.
Well, so I saw a commercial for it. It might have been before a YouTube video where it was like the critics have spoken, and it's like best film of the year, and it was some outlet that I'd never heard of before. And it was like, oh, that's sad when like those are the quotes that you're pulling that you're probably paying for. But it was like four of them, and it was all like, one of them was like called like Nerd Dads or something. And I was like, who is that? And why do they get like top billing on this? And I guess it's because everybody else said, oh, this movie's shit. And so they just took what they could find. But god damn, man.
Right.
I mean, poor Captain America. Striking out.
Well, you know, he wants to hang up the shield, so this is what you're left with.
He did say, I read a thing where he was talking about he wants to do a musical. He wants to sing and dance.
Oh.
Which
okay.
Might be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're going to sit through Gerard Butler as the Phantom, Chris Evans might do okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Ewan McGregor wasn't that great of a singer in Moulin Rouge either. There were definitely things that were out of his vocal range that they tried to get him to sing.
Right.
I mean, he was singing like Elton John songs, so I think that he might have that vocal range, but nope.
Nope.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Weird, weird, weird. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right, well, I guess the next show will be us together, and it will probably be, probably won't come out next week, but the week after, because I won't have any of the stuff to edit it with. So there'll probably be a show next week, or this show, and then nothing next week, and then one the week after, in case you're playing along at home.
There you go.
But if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Would you like to have a Roland Z. Hay?